Little Jimmy was out in the field on a beautiful spring day looking up at the beautiful clouds floating by. And as he was lying there in the middle of that beautiful meadow, he began to think about God. God, are you there? Jimmy said out loud. To his astonishment, a voice came from the cloud. Yes, Jimmy. What can I do for you? And seizing the moment, Jimmy said, God, what's a million years like to you? And knowing that Jimmy could not understand the concept of infinity, God responded in a manner to which Jimmy could realize. A million years to me, Jimmy, is like a minute. Oh, said Jimmy. Well then, what's $1 million like to you? $1 million to me, Jimmy, is like a penny. Wow, remarked Jimmy, getting an idea. You are so generous. Can I have one of your pennies? God replied, sure thing, Jimmy. Just a minute. Advent, this time that celebrates the coming of Jesus, the greatest intrusion in human history, and the coming of Jesus into my life and your life is the greatest intrusion of our lifetime. Jesus comes to us and he makes all things new. But God came in God's own timing. In our lifetime, we have become addicted to information. It is said that this addiction started during the first Gulf War. I remember watching on TV when Tom Brokaw was speaking to some commentator from CNN, and he was shocked by the ability for CNN to continue to broadcast when all the other stations were dependent on the information that they were getting from this little giant, as they referred to CNN. I remember those days very vividly when I reminded my TV, my parishioners, to watch and be aware of how much that they were watching those battle scenes and ballistic attacks, whether they remembered them or acknowledged them or understood them or not. To watch how much time was being consumed in watching these battlefield scenarios. I said to them, pull away from those things and do those things in life that renews you. Go out and spend some time with your children or grandchildren. Do some things that will take your mind off of the war and off of what's happening a half a world away. And Advent is that time for us. Regardless of what's taking place in the world, it's a renewing event. Advent reminds us that God came into our world in God's own timing. Advent infuses us with a powerful injection of refreshing faith. I'm a little hesitant to mention this Sunday, but I will go ahead and talk about sporting events. They are exciting to us because they are an element of surprise. As I watched with my wife a lot of different ball games yesterday, I said, and they're all blowouts. A prophetic word, I'm sure. But as we watch the kickoffs, or the first pitch, or whatever it is, or the tip-off, we don't know really who's going to win. Such it is with the weather. It amazes me that I will watch the weather in the morning, and then in the evening, and then on Tuesday, and before you know it, what was said on Monday is not valid on Tuesday. It's a hit or miss career. It is said, how would you like to be wrong and still have a job as a meteorologist does? Even with all the amazing satellite tracking systems and computer analysis, we are still surprised many times by the weather. Some of us say we don't like surprises. I think about sometimes when I'm downtown at the mall and I hear some car horn going off, or maybe riding down the road and there is a business with a burglar alarm ringing. Or at times in my own neighborhood, when I hear a burglar alarm or a car horn going off, the element of surprise, trying to prevent us from being startled by what is taking place unknown in our world. Surprises. I shared on Thanksgiving Eve service the conversation I had with my son as we were riding back to Columbia the other day about how it used to be. I remember my parents telling me those stories long ago. And now here I am talking to my son about how relatives used to just drop in. I can remember being a part of those individuals that were not necessarily invited, but always welcomed. And as a young boy, I can remember how excited I would be to look out in the front yard and there would be my Uncle Paul or my grandmother and my Aunt Evelyn or any other relative that were pulling up and expecting them to stay for a few days. Unexpected callers were welcome. That doesn't seem to be the case today. This gospel reading that has been read in our hearing this morning reminds us, as we're entering the Advent season, it's a season of surprises. It's time for us to be on our toes. Our God is a surprising God. A God who has acted in surprising and unpredictable ways since the creation of Adam. Advent is a time to prepare for the miraculous birth of Christ into our world. But from year to year, we can never really predict just when that event will occur. Whether it's the second return of our Lord or the advent of Christ into our personal lives. God came in the form of human flesh and lived among us in God's own time. Paul worded it in this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Christ does not enter the world at the stroke of midnight on December the 25th. And sometimes from December the 26th last year to December the 25th this year, or whenever, Christ may have, might, will enter your life at any time. If you think you have a sure handle on the day and the hour of Christ's arrival, you can pretty well bank on it that you're wrong. Advent is about getting ready. Getting ready for the return of Christ. Jesus put it this way when he says, "Watch, I say to you all, keep watch. Be prepared for his return." One of the elements that we certainly need to prepare for Christ's return is to always be aware of our need to repent. Just a few weeks ago, in our staff moments, realizing that the season was fast approaching, I spoke to each one and I said, "One thing I want you to do in the midst of all of your busyness, don't become so busy that you can't enjoy the season. Don't become so busy that you get lost in busyness. It's a busy time of the year. Choirs are rehearsing Christmas music. Sanctuaries are decorated. Chrismon trees are covered. Poinsettias are here. Candles have been lit. Children are excited and preparing for pageantries. Pastors are busy preparing for worship. It's a busy and exciting time of the year." I do think that I have gotten through the season sometimes only to realize that I forgot to enjoy the season. I was so mentally, spiritually exhausted. I needed restoration. In all that you do, do not forget to celebrate the season and what this time to us is all about. And speaking with the staff, and especially this year with Christmas being on Sunday, And we talked about our timing for worship and what all that would involve and what type of service we would have. And I said, of all the days of the year, the day we celebrate the birth of the King is on Sunday. I wonder if we were Muslims and it was the birthday of Muhammad, what were the songs that we would be singing and where would we be in worship? And we complain sometimes about how other faith groups are growing, and yet we look at their commitment and their dedication, and then we look at our commitment and dedication. It's a busy time of the year that will rob us if we let it. The activities and the mood of this season make it difficult for us to remember that one of the ingredients of this season is repentance. Repentance seems inappropriate at Christmas. 'Tis a season to be jolly. In talking of sin and judgment and repentance and turning away from our comfortable world of self-indulgence runs counter to the season. We want the season to be upbeat with jingle bells. Homiletical magazine states it like this: because we have an intrusive God. Indeed, Jesus the Christ was the biggest intruder of all in history. I think of Mary with that intrusion. His birth, the Word made flesh, was a great intrusion of eternal into the temporal, the divine into the human, the spiritual into the material. The entire Bible, Old and New Testament, testifies to the power of an intrusive God to break into our channel-flicking, bed-hopping, mall-shopping, beer-guzzling, chain-smoking lifestyle. Sometimes by sideswiping us. Sometimes by rear-ending us. Sometimes by coming head-on with the news of God's amazing grace and love. Sundoo Kim, the senior pastor of the largest United Methodist Church in the world, First United Methodist Church in South Korea, he is a charismatic personality. A charismatic person in the Greek word means a sacred gift. Sociologist Max Weber extends his biblical notion of charisma into secular circles, whereby a charismatic leader is defined as someone who has access to essential truths that are inaccessible to common man. Dr. Kim is one of the world's leaders who clearly grasps those essential truths. Now listen to this. One of those essential truths is that sometimes we're called to be intrusive. We're called to take the initiative. Christians are not only counseled to be prepared, but to be bold for Christ. Once we have prepared the soil, we are supposed to plant the seed. Dr. Kim illustrated the power of intrusiveness when gathered with a group of mega church pastors at a conference in Moscow, of all places. And seated with them was Mikhail Gorbachev, who had granted these ministers an unusually long meeting with him. Dr. Kim was seated immediately on Gorbachev's right. As everyone began getting ready to leave, Dr. Kim stood up and asked Mr. Gorbachev, had any objections to the group praying with him? Before Gorbachev's translators or security guards knew what was happening, Kim reached out, grabbed the hand of the former leader of the world's largest avowed atheistic state. The rest of the group quickly stood and grasped hands, and Gorbachev rose. And there, in front of a one-way mirrored wall, and many stunned staffers, everyone bowed with Gorbachev in a circle of prayer for peace and reconciliation and God's continuing working, for God's continued intrusion into his life. Jesus' final example in today's gospel notes that when the master left on his journey, he assigned his servants specific tasks to carry out while he was gone. As Christians, as disciples of Christ, we too have been given a very definite assignment. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the news of the Holy Spirit's surprising presence in our midst, is only good news if it's told and retold until all have heard and all have felt Christ's love. So I ask you, Main Streeters, what is your goal for Christ? I ask you during this Advent season to ask Christ to intrude into your life, and to intrude into the life of our church, calling all of us to repentance and renewal, and then to give us a direction, a task for all of us to journey toward in this Advent season. Amen.